Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Quick, you're trapped in debris after an earthquake. Should you scream for help? Or there's a tornado coming your way and you head for your basement. Do you have helmets down there? You're in Texas. A wall of wildfires heading right for you. Run, right? Wrong. This summer, Americans weathered a number of natural disasters. What would you do if one hits you? Jason Daly wrote the Apocalypse Handbook for Outside Magazine, and he's here with some advice. Jason, this is so perfect for someone like me. I worry about everything. So thank you for doing this.
No problem. You know, this was an education for myself as well. I find myself in different parts of the country, in different parts of the world. And a lot of times I think, well, what would I do if an earthquake hit while I'm in Haiti or Peru or someplace that I'm unfamiliar with?
Well, and in fact, you know, some of us know that we should get under something that's supported. But to that question about what if you are trapped under debris, you say don't scream. Why?
Because you don't know how long you're going to be under there. Your resources are extremely limited. You don't know if water is going to be available. You don't know if there's going to be any sort of food source. I mean, if you don't have a granola bar in your pocket, it could be days.
You also say, screaming, you could inhale toxins.
That's correct. You don't want to get a lung full of powdered concrete. There could be chemical leaks nearby. You really don't know what's happening in your environment, especially if you're trapped in rubble, in darkness. There could be another disaster on top of the earthquake.
So you say cover your mouth if you can and breathe through some cloth and tap on something instead. You know, so the rescuers will hear tapping. If you're in an urban area when a quake hits, get inside a building. Avoid unreinforced concrete structures. Those would be, you know, overpasses. You don't want to be standing under one of those. But if you travel, register with our government's Smart Traveler Enrollment Program.
Yes. And this is so the government can know where you are in case a disaster hits. You don't want to be caught in, you know, Japan during the tsunami. It's nice for them and your family and other people to be able to know exactly where you are in case of disaster.
That's at travelregistration.state.gov, but we'll link it here now.org. Some of our other questions, tornado warnings. Now, if you hear a tornado warning, if you're outside and can't get in, we know to try to make yourself as low as possible, get in a ditch if you can. But inside, really? Wear a helmet inside?
This might be a little bit of overkill. Definitely if you're outside and you're on your bike, that helmet's going to help. But if you're inside and your helmet's down there, yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, and you also spoke with Harold Brooks, who's a research meteorologist at the National Severe Storms Lab in Norman, Oklahoma. He says, we recommend helmets because people die by getting hit in the head with debris.
An abundance of caution in any of these situations is called for.
Okay, forest fires, wildfires, you say you can't outrun them. And we've seen this unbelievable video out of Texas, you know, a forest fire covering 500 feet in a few seconds, just unbelievable. But you say if the wall of fire is short enough, run towards it?
If it's a smaller fire, under 4 feet or so, and you can jump over it or step over it into the burned area, that's probably safer than trying to outrun the fire, because if it hits a fuel load, an especially dry area, it can catch up with you.
Jump over it if you can, but as you're right, if you're too scared, you can cover yourself with a wet, non-synthetic material like a wool blanket and lay down face first and hope it goes over you. You can put wet cloths around you, lie down in stones or, you know, in a pond. But you also recommend a portable fire shelter. Do these really work?
There's been controversy about these ever since they came out. There was an incident, I believe, in the mid to late 90s where firefighters deployed these shelters and they didn't seem to help them. A number of them were killed altogether.
Are these like little tents that they'd pop up and hope that it protected them from the fire?
Yeah, they're made of a shiny Mylar-type material. They were redesigned in the early 2000s, so now wilderness firefighters, smoke jumpers, those guys have them. If for some reason you're going to be in an area that's extremely fire-prone, it's advisable to take them, but you need to be trained to use them. Otherwise, it's a dangerous item.
Let's move on to flooding. You know, so much of the country underwater, and I was just really taken. We've heard this before, but really stunned by the power of water. You give some stats.
Yeah, 6 inches. You can be swept away. Your car. It's a little bit more, but still.
24 inches can lift a car.
Yeah, 24 inches. Amazing. And there's actually, this one kind of hits home. A year ago, 4th of July, I was visiting my parents. They live in central Illinois, and there was some pretty extreme rainfall. And there's a story in the paper. A couple tried to drive under an underpass that had flooded, and it was probably 18 inches or so. And the car stopped. They stepped out, and one of them was sucked into a manhole cover.
Oh,
and she ended up drowning in the middle of the street. And it's something that people underestimate. Moving water is a whole different beast than, a shallow pond in your backyard.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and by the way, in addition to people's backyards and homes, you also, with each catastrophe, you have some advice for outdoors people, including in this case, how you can know when there's going to be a flash flood. How do you know when you're hiking that that little creek next to you is about to blow?
If that little trickle that has been a clear little babbling brook that you've been hiking along for the past day gets a little muddy, there's some debris coming down with it, it's a good sign that something is happening upstream and you need to head to higher ground.
Okay.
Because a flash flood really is a flash.
And just head to higher ground in general is the advice when it comes to flooding. This brings us to plagues. It can happen. Remember what happened to Gwyneth Paltrow in Contagion? And Kate Winslet got sick too. Let's listen.
I can't swallow. Severe headache.
What's your temperature?
101.8.
Listen, you can't panic now.
I know.
Okay? Are you alone?
I've definitely infected other people.
You don't know that.
What should I do?
Jason, I think the question should be, what should she have done? You say, you know, everybody's stocking up on Cipro and all this stuff. But you talk to people who said the best thing to do is just wash your hands. I mean, it just keeps coming back to that.
Right. Common hygiene. And one of the best things you can do is if there is a pandemic coming or it's flu season and you feel ill, don't go to work. You're not being a hero by coming in when you're sick. That's when the real trouble starts. That's how things spread.
Yeah, well, there would be no here and now. We all come in with something. But then you also say those headline-grabbing disasters or the fear of flu have got people, but dysentery is far more of a problem worldwide. What to do for that?
Wash your hands. Know where your food is coming from. Keep your hygiene regimen as close to normal as you can. Use that hand sanitizer. I know people kind of make fun of it, but it works in a lot of cases. And if you do get sick with dysentery, take it seriously. You need to know where a reputable medical clinic is that can give you an IV drip or antibiotics and monitor the situation so that it's not something more severe than it needs to be.
And again, for the adventure traveler, and you've got information for them as well, it is Outside Magazine. Have an oral rehydration kit. You like Adventure Medical Kits version. It's $9, and it's at adventuremedicalkits.com. We'll have that at our website as well. Well, and when all else fails, move to Corvallis, Oregon.
Right. There's kind of a small cottage industry going on of websites trying to figure out what's the safest place to live in the U.S. None of them are necessarily 100% scientific. The one that you're referring to was done in cooperation with the New York Times, Corvallis, Oregon. That whole stretch from Washington to Northern California, supposedly, if you don't want natural disasters, that's where to go. If you feel like risking it a little bit, any place in Texas and parts of the South, that's right. Those are the parts that are hit the hardest.
Or if you want to be really safe, according to Belgium's Center for Research on the Epidemiology of Disasters, head for Estonia.
Estonia, I think they had a storm there in 2005. It might have, like, cracked a tree limb, but otherwise, it's pretty smooth sailing over there.
Jason Daly, he wrote the Apocalypse Handbook for Outside Magazine. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.